Could I emphasize chat any more emphatically? 452 chat. Welcome back. Remember, if you bought a house anywhere but Santa Barbara, you didn't pay enough. Usually, I talk to my guest for a little bit, do a little pre-interview. Sometimes it's 5 minutes, sometimes it's 15 minutes. If not, I usually talk to them when I get them on the phone during the commercial break, but I did neither because we were talking about my new cell phone and Michael's new battery for his cell phone. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, Michael Rattray.
Hey, thank you, Mark. Enjoying being here today.
Well, you've been on, I think this might be the third time. Last time was October 28th, 2019, and we were tracking the beach and erosion and boulders and, you know, overall ocean and sand. But Goleta Beach was where you were kind of putting your umbrella up and taking a stand. Goleta Beach Park, I guess it's called. Wasn't there an entity, something that you were involved with, a group?
Well, first, this is my third time. Is the check in the mail? Because I haven't seen it yet.
I'm sorry, the connection's not good. We have to cut you off, Michael. We'll catch you next time.
Well, okay. Maybe those were pro bono, but this one I'm gonna talk to you after line. So, listen, thanks for having me, and I think for the audience that might be new or haven't heard about our project over there at Goleta Beach Park, can I just do a little background check before I get into the present?
Great idea.
As those that have lived here multiple generations or been here for many years or decades. Goleta Beach Park is the largest park actually in all of Santa Barbara County, not in terms of acreage. It's at one point it was 29 acres. Today it's probably about 10 acres less of that. But it actually services over 1 million visitations, let's call it, a year. So that's why we call it the largest and best park that we have in all the systems here in Santa Barbara County. The park, if I could, is those that have all been there, is from a recreational standpoint, is just a great place to go. It's always been free, although the county a couple times over the last decade wanted to start having parking fees, but we've eliminated that opportunity for them because it services such a diverse of citizens that go there, especially the pier itself. There's so many low-income families that use that pier for subsistence. So we welcome the opportunity that that'll continue that way.
Well, let me stop you. So
sure.
I'm glad you added the pier. And I'm glad you're doing this recap, very important. And I also want to remind people, if you're listening and you live in Malibu or other areas, coastal areas, that this is all the same, similar issues. And back up, I forgot about the parking fee. This was something that they were proposing to do and was never implemented, was it?
No, it was never implemented. It was just part of an initiative by county staff to look at how they could increase revenue opportunities.
And when you said
the county.
Yes, oh, good, good. Well, I'm glad that was defeated. And then you mentioned lower-income people using the pier for sustenance. So fishing, is that what you meant?
Absolutely,
okay.
Yes,
okay.
For livelihood.
Wow.
Yes. Going back into the prior to the 80s, 82, 83, the waxing and waning of the sand, the beach itself, the accretion, always allowed us to be able to have a very wide beach in front of the grass park in the parking lots. Going back to when this was handed over from the state to the county back in the 40s, right after World War II. So between the grass, the beautiful grass that we've always had, and then the wider beaches for recreation and beach activities, we also had the historic kelp beds that were out there in the Goleta Bay. And it's hard for people to realize if they hadn't either gone out in that water or seen aerial views historically going back. And we even have pictures that go back into the early 1900s. Over 2 square miles of kelp, sand-dwelling kelp that was out there. So between the sediment that always goes down the coast here on the Santa Barbara littoral cell and the kelp, it protected this bay forever. And it's been a beautiful bay. I've been here since the 70s, and it's really my favorite place to go. Unfortunately, the El Nino storms that we received in 1982-83 devastated the whole Southern California, and many people that live here can recall that. It was the worst, actually, the state says now. It was 100-year storm, and it absolutely devastated all the kelp. It devastated our coastlines. Many of our piers, including the Goleta Pier, were pretty much destroyed. I remember being out there in one of those heroic days where you could see them 5-10 feet over the top of the pier. I don't know if you remember that, Mark or Richard, but it was just an unbelievable, over a period of about a month, if you guys can, it started in 82. It wiped out all the kelp. At that point, all of it got destroyed, got pulled out. And if you might remember, that's when we probably lost several acres of the park. And that's when the first emergency walks, we call it revetment, went in to protect shoreline.
And I guess Michael Rattray has been involved. How long have you lived in Santa Barbara?
My lovely bride and I came here in 1974.
Okay, you beat me by 13 years. No, by 3 years. I'm sorry, 77. And you mentioned 2 square miles of kelp out there in Goleta Beach Bay, and I had written down at one time 200 acres. Is that 2 square miles?
Oh, I'm sorry, 200 acres. Yeah, it is 200 acres, but it's about 2 square miles.
That's interesting.
A mile to a mile. It was very large.
Yeah, 200 acres. I mean, that's a now, is this common to have kelp in a bay area up and down the California coast?
Yeah, actually, California has has bull kelp. There's a lot of kelp, so I won't go into it technically. But within the Santa Barbara County area, especially here on the South Coast, we have both sand-dwelling kelp, which has to have what's called holdfast. So even though you have a root base called worm tubes, it actually has to have a way of attaching it to the sand because it doesn't have rock or reef, and then we have reef kelp. So, for instance, if anybody were to walk, as an example, out on the pier on the right-hand side looking towards UCSB, there's a sewer line that goes out from Galena Water to Sanitary District. They've put rock or sediment to keep line down. It goes out a mile and a half before it discharges. We have lots of kelp on that today, and you could go out there and see it.
Why is there
30, 40 feet higher than the sea level? That's kelp grows almost a foot a day when it really is healthy.
Wow.
But the sand-dwelling kelp is all gone, and what's left now anywhere between, let's say, Devereaux, Refugio, all the way up the Gaviota Coast, the only thing really left after the 82-83 storms is kelp that's on reefs. So all sand-dwelling kelp basically got destroyed in all of Southern California back then. And anything that regrew in the 90s and the 2000s, additional El Nino came through, pulled those also out.
So for the record, it wasn't mankind or carbon dioxide. It was Mother Nature that destroyed the sand-dwelling kelp up and down the California coast and took Santa Barbara County's Goleta Beach Park from 29 acres and it dropped about 10 acres. Then you said revetment, boulders were put in. Big controversy.
Yes, people
don't want the boulders.
Well, okay, so if I can continue down this pathway in terms of timeline. So we continue to get La Nina versus El Nino. People can recall what those are. You get the wet years or in the El Nino years. La Nina's, and actually this is supposed to be a La Nina year right now. It's much drier in the southern hemisphere, and you don't get as much rain and storms. We continued about every 10 years after the 82-83. The next large ones came in the mid-90s, if we remember, and we continued to get more erosion along our coastline, including Goleta Beach Park. so more and more rock, emergency rocks were installed. But the Coastal Commission, and I have to mention that the California Coastal Commission governs all counties and municipals along the coastlines. They have the final say as what we call the decision makers on what can and can't be done in terms of development and protection of those assets. They finally pretty much said, hey, you can't have any more emergency permits. You need to come up with a permanent solution. And in their minds at the state of California, both politically and also at the staff level, was that managed retreat was what was going to have to happen starting in the early 2000s. That was the sediment of how we were going to start protecting was by
Did you say sentiment or sediment? No, just kidding. Sentiment. Keep going.
Okay. So Susan Rose, for those that have been around a while, she was the second district supervisor. She set up a working group of environmentalists and nonprofits and concerned citizens. And I was my partner was Ed De La Torre, and unfortunately he just recently passed away, in terms of the working group. And for several years, Susan Rose allowed us to get together to try to find a consensus of going from emergency rocks and those permits to a more permanent solution. And it took about 8 years, basically all the way into about 2008, 2009, where we came up with an idea that it looked like it didn't have consensus, but it had a majority to go forward with. And I won't belabor your audience, but basically the Coastal Commission shot it down, and they came back in 2009 and said, you got to come up with a managed retreat plan, which means that if the sea is rising, which was, and everyone knows about that, through the United Nations and the IPCC environmental reports that kept coming out in the 90s and early 2000s.
Yeah, but don't tell that to Carpinteria, because I went into the city of Carpinteria with prospective buyers to buy a vacant parcel on the ocean side of the 101 in Carpinteria, and they have this projection that by 2050 it's going to be up a foot. And
right.
I said, so what are you going to require that they build a house that has a 2 foot high raised foundation? And they said, no, actually we don't have a plan. And actually recently the ocean's actually hasn't risen, it's gone down. Due to some geological phenomena where the soil rises, some weird thing. But anyway, I digress.
Yeah, it's the Pacific Plate, and it does rise and move 2 inches a year, but I didn't want to get into quite that level of detail today. But I will say that we have NOAA, the federal government, actually has buoys, hundreds of buoys, between San Diego all the way up into Alaska. And in addition to all the other measurements and metrics it takes daily, one of them is the rise and fall of the ocean on a daily basis and monthly and annually. And you can track those on each one of the buoys. They have numbers. And our Goleta buoy that's there since 1964, actually, we've only gone up about 2 to 3 inches since 1974 for what we call mean midline.
Okay.
So, yeah, our ocean has not risen at all in the Santa Barbara littoral area.
Okay, so my guest, Michael Rattray, this sand-dwelling kelp, 200 acres, destroyed in 1983. Susan Rose and a group from 2000 to 2008 trying to come up with a plan, and it was shot down by the Coastal Commission. They want managed retreat. They're saying don't use boulders, don't do anything to try to stem the tide, just let it happen?
Yes. So what came out of that area in the 2009-10 was to come up with what they called Goleta Beach 2.0, which was a managed retreat. And it took about 3 years to 2014-15 before it was actually what's called the Adaptive Management Plan created. to come up with the triggers to continue starting managed retreat. And managed retreat basically meant taking the utilities out within the parking lots and underneath the grass, and a phased approach of taking out parking lots, what we call parking lot 7, which is the farthest parking lot closer to UCSB, and then start taking out part of more and more of the park, to the point where if this was absolutely true, the triggers, because again it was all the premise on ocean rising, sea level rise, at some point our 29-acre park would be, and it would no longer exist. Between what you just said today and 2050, let's say, is what the concerns were, that were also supported by our supervisors as well as the Coast Commission. So we've had governing documents approved by all parties, decision makers, since about 2015. And some of those triggers are already violated, and we should have started the managed retreat process. I will say Southern California Edison actually took out one of their gas lines and moved it. And so of all the utilities, they're the only one that actually did that. All the other, the water lines and electrical lines are still there as they've always been. So we've had a number of changes here in the county, both at the staff level, county parks, and our supervisors, that have, I would say, been more understanding, a little more sympathetic, in knowing that when we actually look at hard data and facts, that especially the NOAA buoys that I have discussed, that we're not seeing the level of sea level rise that was anticipated through the national, the IPCC reports that come out from the United Nations. That at least here locally, that maybe we have more time, and as a result of that, we've already, as a county and taxpayers, invested so many millions of dollars in protecting and maintaining the Goleta Beach Park. Let's see if we could preserve it a little bit longer. So in the last 2 to 3 years, we've been trying, with our support, Goleta Beach Park, Friends of Goleta Beach Park, which I didn't mention the name, but that's what I'm part of in this representation, to come up with less onerous triggers in trying to appreciate what really should be the reasons for managed retreat. And that still hasn't been resolved for multiple reasons. One is COVID. COVID has really slowed down the county's priorities on this relative to other issues, and I think the audience could appreciate that. So
let me ask you something.
Yes,
my
sir.
My guest, Michael Rattray, started with Friends of Goleta Beach Park, lived in Santa Barbara since 1974. Without getting into the discussion of sea level rise, which some people are very passionate about it one way or another, just putting that aside, why not take the approach of, it's not like the sea level is going to rise 2 feet tomorrow night. Why not just take a approach of, you know, wait and see, instead of, oh, we got to remove this parking lot, we got to do this. I mean, I assume utility companies, they don't want to have to go out there when they're underwater. So I assume when they're really threatened, they will move them. Is that not logical?
Yeah, and I think that's really what the adaptive management plan is intended to do, is to have triggers, say the most danger is, and I'm going to go to specifics, is this Lot 7 parking lot, which is the farther parking lot if you turn a hard right when you go over the bridge, you're going towards UCSB. That's the one that it appeared up through 2016-17 was the one that was going to get lapped by ocean water, high tide lines, king's tides, and that something had to happen in that area first. So I think I'm answering your question. Yes, that's kind of that's the language that's in the current paperwork. Now, since then, we had the Thomas Fire, which really devastated, as we all know, everything in Montecito and Carpinteria. A lot of that sludge, a lot of that sediment had to be taken out of the debris basins up there. And as we all know, factually, is Carpinteria Beach and Goleta Beach got most of that dumped in our shorelines. And that has acute,
Michael, let me stop you. Up against the clock, we're going to take a break. I didn't know if we were going to be able to do this in one segment, but we're going to take a commercial break, come back, and wrap this up. Michael Rattray, we're talking about the ocean and beaches, specifically Goleta Beach Park, but a lot of this applies up and down the coast in California. And the debris, the Thomas Fire and a subsequent debris flow and all these truckloads were getting dumped into the ocean, which I never understood. I never understood. And I'm going to come back from our break and find out what the ramifications were from that, because a lot of people were scratching their head. You know, everyone's the Coastal Commission trying to protect the ocean, and then why couldn't they go dump it near Richard's house up at the San Marcos Pass on the other side? There's a lot of vacant land up there. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.